The oldest surviving black-owned bank in the United States celebrates its 100th anniversary on Sunday. The founder, Maggie Walker, was the first woman to serve as president of a bank. The daughter of a former slave and a white abolitionist, Walker led the Consolidated Bank and Trust Company of Richmond, Virginia. A new book titled A Right Worthy Grand Mission chronicles Walker's accomplishments. The author, Gertrude Woodruff Marlowe, died before the book was published. Kim Leathers was Marlowe's research assistant. Leathers says Maggie Walker was born in 1867 and grew up at a time when it was unusual for blacks to have a high school education.
She was very fortunate. We think she might have gone to school when she was 6 or 7, but much of her early training came through the Sunday school of First African Baptist Church. Sunday school was actually school on Sundays. It was a means of training the freed slaves and the children born soon after slavery in their academic pursuit. There weren't public school systems as we know them now. And throughout her life, she shows a love for children, for their religious training and upbringing, and builds her own legend showing her early start in plays that the St. Luke Order produced.
The Independent Order of St. Luke. Now, fraternal societies were very important in those days.
They were.
Explain what they are. And
many of these organizations started quite simply to help their members during times of illness or death. And they started out as what she liked to refer to as pure fraternals, meaning that they would each chip in a very minimal amount, sometimes a few pennies, when someone was sick to help a family in times of crisis because there wasn't anything like annual or personal leave. And then, upon a death, a certain amount of money was given to the family to ensure a decent burial, which is very, very important for slaves and for the free slaves. It was seen as one of the highest compliments you could give people. If they couldn't receive equal justice in life, they at least wanted some honor in death.
But these were also considered businesses.
Well, they evolved into businesses, and the money that was given to people in times of death or sickness morphed, if you would, into a more rudimentary form of insurance. And so that's really how all of them moved into what we now understand to be the insurance business.
And this was very important because, obviously, a once slaved population had no institutions.
And had no resources.
Yeah.
And in fact, the whole concept of insurance in the United States was a very new one at that time. So African Americans were entering at the ground level with everyone else.
And Maggie Walker just jumped into this organization.
She joined Good Idea Council number 16 and began to like it. She began to take on minor roles in her individual council. But by 1899, she had really become a force. She didn't necessarily have the training. She just had skill, acumen, and she read everything. She attended whatever she could to learn.
Well, she had one really good skill. She was a great speaker.
Oh, she could talk. She has some of the most wonderful oratory, and we're so fortunate that so many of her speeches survived. And that's why we know so much of what she did. She was meticulous in keeping records. There's a story that she found a 5-cent discrepancy, and she kept two clerks up all night to find it, and they did.
Now, what do you suppose was the drive? What, you know, pushed her?
Maggie Walker's love was for women. She realized, as she says often, the lowly sphere for women, and she pushed the equality of women and of African Americans to provide a means for women to sustain themselves and their families. So she decided to build this business. St. Luke really became an organization run by women.
Now, when she took over, she made the Order of St. Luke solvent.
Absolutely.
Because it was on shaky financial
ground. That's right. And she said part of that was because a man was in leadership.
I see. But then other ventures were launched, a bank, a department store.
She had heard of banks being started by fraternal orders, and that piqued her interest. So she decided, if they can do it, why can't I? And so she said, we should do three things. We should start a bank so that we can maintain our own money and use it for our own purposes. We should start an organ, and that's what they called newspapers at the time, so that our message will go to the St. Luke's here and the St. Luke's abroad. And we should start an emporium, now the emporium or department store, was to be a means for women to have work.
It's one thing to run a fraternal society, but these are business, a bank. I mean, how did she know how to do that?
She went to another bank. She learned all she could about what it would take to start the bank. And for a couple of months before the bank actually opened, she went to another local Richmond bank and watched what they did day in and day out.
Maggie Walker is often confused with a contemporary, Madam C.J. Walker, mm-hmm. who came out of horrible circumstances and developed a hair products industry and got very rich.
Absolutely.
But what does that say about these two women in this awful time, being black women and having such great success?
Pure hard work. Probably a very powerful persona, very charismatic, very dedicated, and very religious. Aside from that, maybe the times. She was in a slightly different world where everything was growing together and everything was being created at the same time, and she just used it to her advantage.
Kim Leathers was research assistant to Gertrude Woodruff Marlowe, author of A Right Worthy Grand Mission. Marlowe died before her book was published.